This is where normal comes to die. Mediocrity meets its final demise, and the status quo is unabashedly dismantled. Welcome to Reinvention Radio. Now, here's your host, Steve Ulscher.
Alrighty, welcome to another edition here of Reinvention Radio. Steve Ulscher hanging out with the lovely Mary Valet. Hi, Mary Valet.
Hello.
Oh, man, Richie Ote is off doing some kind of virtual reality
at
something.
Comic-Con
something. Yeah. Yeah, that's impressive. He's got a little Comic-Con
that's
hookup.
Chaos.
That is chaos. I literally tried to get tickets, like 2 years ago or something when we first moved here, and they sold out in like 30 seconds. I was like, what's
for this
that?
Year?
No, 2 years ago. So
oh,
I said,
okay.
So I said, forget it.
No,
why,
I think
this year there's tickets available this year?
No.
No.
Unless you're lucky enough to call into a radio show and they give you a ticket or two.
Yeah. So we got to get the hook up for next time so we can have so we can invite all of our fun guests and friends to join us. We'll just do a big booth there. How about that? We'll just do a big Reinvention Radio booth
there.
We'll interview stars and that sort of thing. But there are no stars that are bigger than the star that is with us, right? So, dude, it's awesome having you here.
Thank you.
The one and only Tiamo Divitori. which
he rolled the R there, too. That's really impressive.
Yeah, right? I like that, man. All right, so for those who don't know you, first and foremost, are you first generation? Were you born here and your parents were not? Or were you born elsewhere and so your daughter is now first generation?
So I was born in Canada.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. Well, that sort of counts.
I was born in Quebec City.
Kind of. But actually, then that's true. So then your daughter would be the first.
She would be, yeah. So she was born in San Diego, so.
Nice.
Yeah.
All right. Well, welcome to the world. Je t'aime.
Well said.
Is how old now?
5 months.
5 months. And not sleeping a lick?
Not sleeping, but a lot of singing.
But a lot of singing.
She loves
a
microphone.
Well, of course.
I
mean, she is your offspring, right?
Yeah.
So it does your lovely missus, does she sing? Is she into music or anything? Does she do any of that?
She is very into music. She doesn't sing like professionally, but she sings a lot with the family.
Is she into your music?
She's
though?
Very into my music, which is kind of how we met. So that works out really
oh,
well.
Oh, we must hear.
Did you pick her up from the stage? You were on the stage and
it
saw her.
It wasn't quite like that.
Similar?
It was a little more carried out. I was performing at a seminar, and she was part of the staff that was running the seminar.
Nice. What seminar?
And so
it was
actually a real estate seminar.
I
was performing there, and then at the end of the seminar, I had my fan club sign-up sheet, and she so wisely signed up for that.
Well, of course
she
did.
So then she was getting emails because she was in my fan club.
Personal emails.
Eventually.
Hi, Diane.
Yeah.
Wait, what?
Eventually personal emails. And then I continued coming back to the seminar. They had me back, and she would be there. And then we started becoming friends, and then it grew from there.
Nice.
Yeah.
So how long have you been married, Nick?
So we've been married 4 years now. Yeah.
Wow. Very cool, man.
Totally.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
So married for four, got the baby.
Yeah.
Life is good, although you're not sleeping. Still playing basketball. Still hanging out with some cool folk. You've got events you're doing now. You've got your music. But take us back, because you've actually got a really interesting story, dude. Like mafia and just, I mean, let me ask you this. There are a lot of folks who kind of work their way into what it is that they are doing with their lives and career. Did you know from a very early age that you were going to be a musician? Like, was this one of those things, like it was always in the blood? Did it start that way, or when did music kick in for you?
Definitely not.
Definitely not.
So my father is a singer-songwriter, and eventually I rebelled. What's that?
Is he good? Like,
he's amazing. He's a lot better than I am.
Is
and he does opera, and he does all kinds of things. He sings in, I believe, almost 20 different foreign languages.
Wow.
And he's, he's still traveling right now, and he's performing in Russia.
Really? Wow.
He's very talented, very gifted. I knew at an early age that I had some natural ability myself,
mm-hmm.
But eventually I just wanted to go against what he was doing. I want to find my own identity, and I got really immersed into sports, and you mentioned basketball. I mean, that was really my first love. And I moved away from music, and I actually stopped doing it
mm-hmm.
until I was in my early 20s, and then the music just found me.
And so when you say music, was it like playing piano or singing or guitar or what
yeah,
what did that look like for you?
I played piano for years, and that was really the first instrument. And then I was singing, and I played flute, and things like that. And I was performing in front of audiences. Like, I would open for my father, and I'd come out on stage. Like, I was 10 years old, and there'd be 1,500 people there. And,
wow.
And I'd be singing and doing all that. So I think that's where I got my stage presence and charisma and just being really confident on stage. And, of course, you know, naturally, like, you would just develop those skills. But I started auditioning for talent companies and other companies, and I would mess up on purpose because I didn't want to do that.
So this is like in your teens, or are we
like
talking
11
like,
years old, 12 years old, and things like that? And yeah. So you
sabotaged it.
I did.
And what did mom and dad have to say about the sabotage? Because they knew they knew you were throwing it, right? Because otherwise, I mean, who wouldn't want Tiamo on their squad, right? So,
well, I think the first couple of times they just thought I was nervous or messed up, but eventually they started to catch on that I just didn't want to do this.
Yeah. So your dad's in the mob, right? I mean, that's how the whole mafia thing started.
He's definitely not. Yeah, he'd be the last person to be in the mob. Yeah, that whole thing was much more unexpected. So
wait, what is this?
Right. So how?
Yeah, we're like talking a secret.
Yeah, I know. I'm in the room.
So how did the mob get involved with Tiamo's career? That's what I want to know.
Well, there's an aspect of the music industry, and so they just got involved because they saw an opportunity in me. And it wasn't, I didn't know it was happening.
So this was through your management company.
Yeah.
So at some point you embraced the whole idea of, okay, I'll do music. You got a manager. So now we're in our late teens or?
No, I mean, so now we're talking like more like late 20s.
Oh, late 20s. Okay.
Yeah.
So you decided to pick it back up. You got back into music. Found a manager and
in LA or where?
No, so what happens is I got back, I actually discovered songwriting because before when I was younger I wasn't inspired by playing Chopin and Mozart and all that. I just felt like I have all this music in me. Mm-hmm. And so eventually, like when I was 21, 22-ish, I started writing my own songs and found a passion for that.
Okay.
And that was on the East Coast. I was in Virginia, but then I eventually moved to San Diego. Mm-hmm. And that's where I started growing my own following here. And I was doing that for a number of years. And then that's where I eventually got help with an agent and a manager and investors and all of that stuff. So that's where things started to really grow. And that's where they started having communication with people in the mafia that I didn't know was happening at the time. Mm-hmm. But things were rapidly moving. And they would have
for you can't refuse. Yeah, right.
They would have like these secret meetings that I wasn't invited to, and I didn't know about the secret meetings, but I started to find out about them, and I would raise a lot of questions about it.
Yeah.
And
were you at least making decent money while all this was going on? I mean, was there
well, yeah,
silver
lining
there?
Well, yeah, I was doing pretty good. Yeah, I was doing pretty good. but still, I mean, still growing as an artist,
right?
And still trying to figure out how to monetize the music, but I was. But there was just this plan. There's this direction we were going in. There's a lot that behind the scenes I didn't know about. And I started to get a sense about it. And I really started to question things. And I wasn't getting answers.
Wasn't Dad like, I mean, he had to be pretty intimately involved with all that. No, I mean, no.
He's traveling all the time. And he lives in Italy. So it was like, I was in San Diego. He's in Italy or somewhere in the world at the time. And because I didn't know about it, I mean, nobody knew. I just knew that something didn't feel right inside. Mm-hmm.
Would you say you had to listen to your gut?
Absolutely. Okay. I had to follow my intuition.
That's Mary's book. Mary's book is Go With Your Gut.
So I love it.
Yeah.
That's exactly what I did.
Trust.
Yeah.
Yourself.
Because it just things didn't feel good, didn't feel right. I started to really listen to that voice and I started to raise more questions. Mm-hmm.
So were they asking you to compromise your artistry or what because of the money and what people wanted to form you as?
And that's part of what didn't feel right to me was that the whole reason why I started out as a singer-songwriter was to share my message with the world to make it a better place and make a difference. And that's why I grew my following because people really love that side of me and that message and how the music was all very positive and uplifting. And so they liked that message, but they really wanted to turn me into a rock star.
Okay.
And that's not, I wasn't really going for that. Like, mm-hmm. if it happened on its own, like, I was open to that, but I wasn't, like, trying to pursue the fame and the fortune and all that stuff. But mm-hmm. they just saw the following that I had, and they saw my talent, and they just felt like, well, this is someone that we can turn into a rock star machine.
Yeah.
And then make him worth millions of dollars, which would benefit them. Mm-hmm. Now, I didn't know that's how they were trying to shape me at the time, because I didn't know what was going on.
Yeah.
I just, you know, my management was having these conversations for a few months, and I found out about some of these secret meetings, and that's when I really started to raise these questions. And I also feel how they were trying to kind of condition my, just my image and change that mm-hmm. and my performance from
Till
stage.
What?
So the mascara was okay. Well, the eyeliner
no,
was fine.
No, nothing like that. Like, that's really extreme. It was just more of like, for example, like one time I had it. Normally it was just me and my guitar, but then we got like a big band. I had like backup singers. And this one show, I'll never forget, like I came out on stage and they wanted like the whole smoke machine thing. And I came out with all this smoke and I was like, this doesn't feel like me.
Yeah, right?
You know, like. I'm oh, using so rock and sandals, or I'm just in shorts and
no,
like,
yeah.
smoke machine. I was like, ooh, okay, so this is not going in the right direction, you know?
Pour some sugar on yeah. yeah, no.
Hardcore. Yeah, I'm not the hardcore.
So. You're not. No, that's something I can't even
so
picture you coming
So I want to hear
out.
More about how it evolved from there
yeah,
when
yeah.
we get back on the next segment.
Sure. It's such a funny visual, though, dude, picturing you with the, you know, with the fog machine the whole
yeah,
time.
Yeah, fog machine and everything.
All right, more with Tiamo Di Vittoria on Reinvented Radio right after this.
You were born to do one amazing thing, but most people spend a lifetime trying to identify what it is. If you're at a job you don't like or are unemployed, if you're in a state of transition or just can't shake that nagging feeling that you were meant and made to do something extraordinary, the Reinvention Workshop is exactly what you need. Led by award-winning self-help author Steve Ulcher, the Reinvention Workshop will forever change your life. The Reinvention Workshop takes you step-by-step through Steve's proven formula that has help so many get on the right path and be clear about what they were born to do. Take the first step for realizing the life you deserve and desire by visiting TheReinventionWorkshop.com today. No more delays, no more denial. Reconnect with your true self. Learn to live with purpose and conviction and become who you were born to be. The world is waiting for you. What are you waiting for? Log on to TheReinventionWorkshop.com. That's TheReinventionWorkshop.com.
And now, back to Reinvention Radio. Here's your host, Steve Ulcher.
Alrighty, welcome back to Reinvention Radio. Steve Ulcher hanging out with the lovely Mary Boulay. Hello, Mary Boulay. And the one and only Tiamo Di Vittoria hanging out with us. And Richie Rich is off at Comic-Con doing his thing. And we are excited to have you here, brother. So thanks for strapping by.
So I want to go back to that whole story.
Please do. Please
no.
do.
You please do.
Oh, yeah. Actually, it's Tiamo's story. Yes.
So there, you recognized something didn't feel right. They were grooming you and... Okay.
Yes.
So then what did you do?
Did you give up music entirely at that point? Were you like, okay, I'm just...
Well, we're getting there.
We're getting there.
Yeah, all we're right, almost sweet. There. So what happened is I sat down with my manager and I said, I need to know what's going on. Like, I have to know now because I wasn't getting answers. And so she shared with me in that conversation that they were working with people in the mafia. And I didn't know this, and mm-hmm. I just stayed really calm, and I thanked her for being honest and finally sharing with me.
And then ran.
And then that night, I was living in San Diego at the time. That night, I just packed up everything, and I got in my car, and I drove to Arizona, where my parents live. I should say my mom and my stepdad, not to confuse things, because we were talking about my dad earlier. And so then that night, I drove out to Arizona. When I got to Yuma, I called my manager and I told her I quit.
Mm-hmm.
And that was it for me.
Mm-hmm.
What did she say? Trust these guys. This is all good. It's going to be fine. They'll listen to your voice.
Yeah, great question. So she said, I know this isn't the route that you planned on, but just think about how big they're going to make you. And she said, this is actually your success and your fame and fortune is all guaranteed within the next month to 2 months.
for the price of your soul.
Yeah, I know.
Exactly.
And she's like, I know this isn't like what we were working on or what you thought, but you're going to be huge. And think about all the lives you can touch and the difference you can make globally and like everything you can do with that. So she was focusing on those outcomes. But I was saying, well, what about the integrity? Like, even if I get all those things, like, I don't want it if it means getting it like this.
Yeah.
I mean, so was it the money? Was it the crime-ridden mob? Or was it they just wanted you to be what they wanted to package you as?
Well, it was more, I mean, eventually they had the power and the influence to make me worth millions of dollars, which they would benefit from. And maybe I get a few million of that, right? Like maybe I get 3 or 4 million of it and they get the rest, which is awesome for them. You know, from an artist perspective, there's plenty of artists that say, well, that's awesome for me and I'm willing to do it and no one will know and it'll be amazing and I'll live this whole lifestyle and I'll go out. And, you know, there's ways that you could justify it. I could say, well, I could do lots of good with that. My message would get out there. But for me, like, that just wasn't in alignment with that. So I knew that night I just had to leave and make that decision before I felt like I was going to be owned by them.
Yeah.
So.
Okay, yeah. Fair enough.
And so you regrouped in Arizona. Then at some point you decided to come back to San Diego, rented out this phenomenal facility, the Tiamo Comeback Tour.
Yeah.
Seats 1,500 people or 500 people or whatever it was, and two people show up.
Yeah, so eventually I was in Arizona. I stopped doing my music. I decided to get re-inspired, come back to San Diego, do it myself.
Yeah.
So I rebuilt my whole fan base, and it actually grew bigger than ever doing it on my own. And but then over a span of a few years, it started to die off because I was doing it all myself.
Yeah.
And so then I wanted to do this really big comeback concert, and so I got booked at this venue that holds over 500 people.
Yeah.
And I promoted it every day for 6 months, and I dedicated myself to that. And the night of that big comeback concert, I came out on stage, and there were two people in the audience.
Yikes.
And so that was another breaking point for me.
Ugh. So wait, yeah. So during that period of time, I mean, 6 months trying to promote, did this whole, were you working a day job? Were you raking leaves? I mean, what sort of things were you doing? Or was that the period we don't, quote, talk about?
No, we talk about it. So it was as my I love talking about it because I think it's an important part of the story. So when I came back to San Diego, my music was doing great. Like, that was wonderful. But then eventually there was a drop off and I was really struggling. So that's kind of like another aspect of my struggling artist story where I had to make some money. And at that time, I was a liger.
A lion tiger.
It's a combination. Yeah, liger. I was a mascot. I was a liger mascot.
He was that guy in the suit.
Yeah.
For who?
He just liked doing it. He just walked around in the suit.
It's for an adult sports organization in San Diego. So they run adult sports leagues. Their mascot is a liger. So I was on a street corner, and I would hold up this sign promoting them in this really huge liger head and outfit. And I was getting paid $8 an hour for that.
And sweating inside.
Totally sweating, because I was dancing the whole time on the street corner. So I was pouring sweat inside
the suit.
You
started like 150 pounds, and at the end of the shift, you were like down to like 135.
Yeah, I dropped like 10 pounds through my shift. So I'd be out there all day, and then at night, I was a banquet server, and I was making $12 an hour doing that.
Yeah.
And, you know, really trying to keep my music career alive.
Yeah.
I had this comeback concert, and then with that result, I was really devastated.
I'm sure.
And then I quit because I just thought, like, I just can't do this anymore.
And here's the most important question. Did you actually do the full set for those two people?
I did a full hour set.
Nice.
What did they say?
Now that is commitment right there.
What did they say to you?
I didn't talk to them because when I got done, I ran backstage, packed up my guitar, I got in my car, drove away, and I just busted out in tears.
Yeah.
And I decided that I just didn't have, after that hour set, I didn't feel like I could talk to anybody.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So then I quit again. Yeah. And then from there, eventually I got a job. I got hired at a university in San Diego because I had a background in that. And so I started working there and decided this is much better for me, and I'm just going to not do my music anymore and be at peace with that.
So you just went into academia, like you were teaching, or you were just doing sort of administrative things?
I was doing a number of things, but I was an admissions counselor, and eventually I was an advisor and different things like that.
And then you started going back on sort of the seminar thing, and you said, hey, to an event manager, you know, I used to do some singing. If you want me to bring you guys back in from the break, I'm happy to lead a tune or two, and that's kind of how it rekindled.
Yeah, I mean, I just wanted to live a better life and be happy and, you know, eventually start a business, but I didn't know what, so I'm sure a lot of people can relate to that, but I just felt like, well, I really want to get into attending a lot of these seminars and educate myself and empower myself, so I was at this personal development seminar, and for the first time in a long time, I actually had this intuition, followed my gut, and I brought my guitar, and I didn't know why, and I wasn't playing my guitar at all, but... during one of the breaks, I asked the event coordinator if I can get up on stage and if I could perform.
Yeah.
And I convinced him, and so I did. And there were a few thousand people there. And I had a number of, like, while I was on stage, I just had some breakthroughs that there was this reinvention inside of me that I saw this portal that I could actually reignite my music career in ways that I hadn't realized before by being on that stage. Because there was an instant audience of a few thousand people right there.
Right.
And for me, the realization was, well, I could combine storytelling with music and speaking and call that keynote concerts.
Nice.
And then I could perform at seminars and audiences would already be in the seats and I wouldn't have to do anything to get the people there. And then I would get paid by companies, schools, and organizations who had the budgets to pay me to do these keynote concerts. So that was a huge breakthrough moment for me.
Yeah. Yeah. And so from a monetization perspective, I mean, it's just a really interesting way to then leverage the talent as a musician without going down a traditional road of releasing a CD. And I mean, although you have a CD and whatever, you put your music out for people to consume. But there's just a different way to monetize, and interestingly enough, what's ended up happening is now you teach, well, you explain it. So what do you do? So you teach musicians, and so what do you do now?
Yeah, so eventually after figuring out this model and doing it for a few years, I was making a lot more money with my music than I was at my day job at the university. So then I left my job.
Cut the rope.
And which was really tough, but I did it. And so over time, I was going to music conferences and musicians were just migrating to me and asking me how I was doing this. And then they started asking me, like, well, do you do any workshops around this or any seminars or any training? So then I started creating that. And then I led my first ever workshop, which led to other workshops, which now led to sold out seminars and online trainings where I now teach musicians how to grow their business in the model that I do.
Yeah. Well, and so are you happier now than you would have been had you had that typical music career? Or it's obviously hard to maybe it's hard to say because maybe you would have liked the mascara and the eyeliner and the long hair and the rock and roll shows. Yeah,
maybe.
I don't know. You don't know. It's hard to say.
I don't know, but I think the reason why I'm probably happier now is because I have freedom of choice and I don't have to go on these really long tours. I can perform once a month if I want to, or I could do more. Because I get paid a lot more per gig, I feel like I have a lot more leverage. I'm a lot more empowered. And I can travel whenever I want, and I'm my own boss. Like, I'm not answering to any label or managers or anything like that. So
you're kind of like a professional speaker that sings in that. And when you talk about that payment, you're talking about, you know, like people who speak for a living. That's awesome.
Right.
By the keynote concert, that's kind of what you're talking about then? People pay
you
per presentation.
I get paid as a speaker, but I'm doing my singer-songwriter thing. And it's really not that different than my coffee shop days when I would just be on a stool with my guitar and I would tell my stories and I'd sing my songs. It's the same thing. Now I tell my stories and I sing my songs, but I'm just getting paid a lot more for it.
Yeah. And you do your own events as well.
Absolutely.
So you have those gigs and you have your own events. And I know you're also doing some coaching and and these sort of things. You have your long programs where people can work with you and so on. So, all right, so we're going to dig into much more of that.
Let's do it.
Let's talk a lot about reinventing how we are living the lyrics of Tiamo. So I'm looking forward to that as well. All right, more with Tiamo DiNotore here on Reinvention Radio right after this.
One person has the power to change the world, impact millions of lives, and leave a legacy for lifetimes to come. That person is you. In the New York Times bestseller, What is Your What?, Steve Ulcher, award-winning author and founder of the Reinvention Workshop, reveals his proven process that has helped thousands of men and women discover, share, and monetize the one thing they were born to do. Grab your free copy now at www.whatisyourwhat.com/free. That's www.whatisyourwhat.com/free.
And now, back to Reinvention Radio. Here's your host, Steve Ulcher.
All righty, welcome back to Reinvention Radio. Steve Ulcher and Mary Willet. What's up, Mary Willet? Hello. Hanging out with the amazing Tiamo Di Vittore. And by the way, like, did you just get Tiamo.com? Is that like, were you able to get?
No, I wasn't.
What? Who has Tiamo.com?
I don't know who does, but there's like, there's restaurants, there's hotels, there's a resort called Tiamo.
And, what does it mean? Like,
it means I love you in Italian.
Yeah, but it's T-I. Oh, nice.
T-I-A-M-O, yeah.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, just like je t'aime means I love you in French.
Man, and Diane means what?
And Diane means I love you more.
I win.
I win it all.
I think it's a little translation of what Diane means. Oh, man. So what is the best place? Where do people go to find out more information about you then? Like, what's the best website?
Yeah, they can go to secrethighpaingigs.com.
That has nothing to do with Tiamo. That's not at all what I was expecting.
Secrethighpaingigs.com. TiamoMusic.com.
Ah, TiamoMusic.
Yeah, either of those two.
T-I-A-M-O
music.com.
Nice. Awesome. Very cool. So wait, I have to ask you this because late night television, I mean, that's kind of like a holy grail for most folks, whether you're in entertainment or an author or a speaker, I mean, whatever, right? So you did Jimmy Kimmel?
Sort of, kind of. I performed for Jimmy Kimmel in a private event.
Ooh.
So it was actually on the same stage where he does his show, but it was during the day for him and all the employees.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice, so, man. How did you get a gig like that? There are people probably like going, geez, I'd love to be able to get a private, you know, presentation, private concert for Jimmy. How'd you line that one up?
Well, I got
through the mafia. Sorry.
You forgot about that, right?
Yeah, through your connections.
I just went back when it was convenient. I'm like, well, I'll just dabble back in when it works for me. You know, my good friend Sean Stevenson was hired by them to come in. He's an amazing motivational speaker. So he came to speak to them.
Yeah.
And then Sean called me up and said, TM, I want you to do we're going to do a partnership, and I'm going to speak to them, and then you're going to sing songs, and we're going to do like a duo thing. So
and let's be honest here, by partnership, you mean you just wheeled him off the stage.
Right, I was like, now it's my time. Right. So it was made, like, Sean was really the feature, but he brought me with him to provide the musical inspiration.
Nice, man.
Yeah.
Nice. All right. So give us an understanding then of what's got you most excited at this point, because I know you work with different types of people, not just musicians. I mean, you're working with lots of different folks. So what has you most excited then at this particular juncture, other than the baby?
On the work front. So I absolutely love leading seminars. So you know, I do 3-day seminars, and I love spending 3 days with people who didn't see this possibility, and by the end of it, they see how real it is and how they could do this and how they could change their lives.
And this is the musician part.
Well, I do two different types of seminars. One is for musicians, and they come to my seminar, and I teach them how to grow their music business in very unconventional ways.
Love that.
In what I call the new music industry. Because the keynote concerts is one aspect out of 7 that I actually teach them about. And then the other seminar, because so many people started coming to me and asking about, well, how do I lead my own seminars? How do I become a hybrid speaker or a speaker? Mm-hmm. So then I started doing seminars to teach speakers how to speak and tell their story and get booked. So
would that
be
like a fearless speaker kind of person, someone who's not really, you know, that maybe they're fearless, and is that kind of where you're going with
it? Yeah, that's where I'm going.
Yeah, that event is it's called Fearless Speaker.
See,
You're so good.
Right? How about that?
Fearless Speaker what?
Yeah. Emergence.
Oh,
Fearless
okay.
Speaker Emergence. That's awesome.
Thank you.
That's awesome. Yeah, no, that's very, very cool. And so, you know, I just want to take a step back here because you have an interesting perspective on this whole industry and entertainment, music, and so on and so forth. And we were talking in the sound off about how the, you know, Chris Cornell and then now today the guy from Linkin Park just, you know, did their thing. And you said something really interesting. which is where you said, you know, that most famous people are unhappy. What did you mean by that?
I feel like a lot of people pursue fame because they feel like, well, if I get that, then I'll finally be happy. And, you know, whether it's fame or money or both. And the unfortunate thing, which is why I think some of them take a downturn, is they get there and then they realize that they're still not fulfilled and they're still not happy. And so much of that is very external. Rather than just finding inner peace and fulfillment and happiness, which has to do with the love that you're surrounded with and the love that you have for yourself and your health and your well-being and all those things. So I think that there is this endless pursuit of that, feeling like, well, that's the answer. Like, if a lot of people know me, then I'll feel valuable and I'll feel seen and people will love me and accept me and appreciate me. What happens, though, is that a lot of people then enter your lives and you don't know what their motives are. You don't know who you can trust. And then you realize like there's still something missing, and that's actually more disturbing than before when you were not famous. So I just don't feel like pursuing fame and fortune and being a celebrity or a rock star is really an answer, but the answer is being a rock star in your own life. Yeah.
Interesting. And so you stopped pursuing fame, right? I mean, that was on at some point you thought, yeah, I'd love to be famous, and now you've stopped, in essence, you've stopped pursuing that.
Yeah, I did, but why?
Like, I mean, is that going to be a byproduct, do you think, anyway, of what you do? And what happens if it does?
It kind of already is a little bit,
right?
He's getting gigs.
True.
I'm getting gigs, but I'm definitely no celebrity. I'm definitely not famous, and I don't feel like if it happened organically and it was for the right reasons, and I was helping a lot of people, I'd be open to that. But it's not something that I am pursuing. It's not like a dream of mine. Like, my dream is just have the freedom of lifestyle and to live comfortably and to change lives. And if I can do that, I am totally happy, and that's what I am doing.
So how do you think, then, you can translate the high that you feel from performing in front of those thousands of people into sort of like an everyday high? How can you translate that into everyday life?
I think it's about what you wake up for and how you live your life. And for me, I just seek to find beauty and excitement in moments and not necessarily aspirations, but I love working toward those aspirations at the same time. But it's really about cherishing the present moment. And I think if I can be happy with that, then the other things that happen are an unfolding. They're like an extension of feeling happy already. And it makes it a whole lot easier for me to achieve those things. And a lot of times people feel like, I mean, they ask me, well, how is it that you've achieved this success as a solo independent artist? And they want all these tangible, measurable things that I can give them. And I could do that, but essentially it's more of like what you're emanating. Like, I'm vibrating at a higher frequency because I'm already am happy. And then those things happen on top of that.
Gotcha. So what do you say then to the artist that's still craving that success, if you will, but they're not getting there as quickly as they would like? What do you say to that type of artist?
Well, I would say chances are they're still doing it the old model way, which is playing the musician's lottery and hoping that there's this 1 in 50 million chance that they get discovered because you're just waiting for someone else to come find you.
And validate you.
Yeah, and validate you and say you're good. And I just say, just decide that you're good and go out and perform and concentrate on touching lives and just focus on, if you want to do your music full time, focus on that. And of course, you know, you can do it in very creative, innovative ways that I teach. But if you can do your music full time and you have that kind of freedom and you can do what you love for a living, that is a great deal.
Yeah.
And that's I'd rather an artist pursue that than try to pursue a record label, which is obsolete, or trying to pursue fame, which not only are the chances so small, but I just feel like it's very, like, it's an illusion of, it's not, like, to me, I don't feel like it's the answer. Like, the answer is, how can you control your own destiny, monetize it, live a comfortable life, touch lives, get your music out there, and then get up tomorrow and do it again.
Nice.
Nice.
All right, well, man, really appreciate you coming in. I know how busy you are, although I will say it's probably a nice reprieve from not being able to sleep at home with the 5-month-old, but it's It's good to have you here, man. Really appreciate you dropping in. If you want more information on what Tiamo's up to, Tiamo Music, T-I-A-M-O music.com is definitely a great place to start. Really, really appreciate you, my brother, and best to you and the family, and much love and continued success. And for those of you who joined us here for the first time, it's a hell of an interview to become a part of the Reinvention Radio family with us. All right, guys, for Mary Goulet, I'm Steve Olger. Talk to you guys really, really soon. Take care.
You just got dismantled. Thanks for listening to Reinvention Radio. For more information about the show and your host, Steve Olscher, visit reinventionradio.com.
You were born to do one amazing thing, but most people spend a lifetime trying to identify what it is. If you're in a job you don't like or are unemployed, if you're in a state of transition or just can't shake that nagging feeling that you were meant and made to do something extraordinary, then the Reinvention Workshop is exactly what you need. Led by award-winning self-help author Steve Olscher, the Reinvention Workshop will forever change your life. The Reinvention Workshop takes you step-by-step through Steve's proven formula that has helped so many people get on the right path and clear about what they were born to do. Take the first step to realizing the life you deserve and desire by visiting thereinventionworkshop.com today. No more delays. No more denial. Reconnect with your true self. Learn to live with purpose and conviction and become who you were born to be. The world is waiting for you. What are you waiting for? Log on to thereinventionworkshop.com today. That's thereinventionworkshop.com.